Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Mario Williams has him around the waist and he drops him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo! Come on, baby!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. The night before the draft, we've got plenty of draft talk tonight, and we want to hear from you, your pick for the Buffalo Bills. We'll also be talking with Bills backup quarterback Thad Lewis. Kevin Weidel of ESPN joins us one more time prior to the draft, and former Tampa Bay Buccaneers general manager Mark Domenech joins us to talk about what's going on tomorrow.
This place is pandemonium!
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
To talk about what's going on tomorrow. Could you tell I was running out of time in that open to the show? Of course we're going to talk about what's going on tomorrow. The draft, NFL draft tomorrow. We've got it wired for you here on the John Murphy Show tomorrow night. On the air at 7 tomorrow night. And 8 o'clock, the draft begins. We'll stay here till the first round is over. Obviously, working in your phone calls, getting comments and reaction from some of the prospects. We'll hear the calls from the podium in Radio City Music Hall in New York as soon as they come in. Yeah, there's a lot coming up tomorrow night, and we're going to try to set the stage for that coming up tonight here on the show. And want to do it with your phone calls. Give us a call. Let us know who you want the Bills to pick tomorrow. Not who you think they'll pick, not who you expect they'll pick, but who you want the Bills to pick tomorrow in the first round. We're only talking first round tonight. We've spent the last 4 months kind of breaking down the draft, talking about the prospects, talking about the chances of this player being available, that player being available. The question we put out there tonight is, who do you want the Bills to wind up with tomorrow night by the end of the first round? Who do you hope is the Buffalo Bills' first-round draft choice? And it is, you got to believe, wide open based on the reports. We talked about this last night, even more so tonight. The reports persist that the Bills are looking to trade up very high up into the first round of the draft. They sit there ninth right now, as you know. Maybe they try to get up to the number one overall. That was the report out there by Pro Football Talk today, that the Bills are trying to move up to the number one overall pick to get who? Jadeveon Clowney? Sammy Watkins? Here's what Pro Football Talk said. The Bills, we're told, this is their report, have been burning up the phone lines in an effort to work out a deal that would vault them from number 9 to number 1 or number 2. Now, Pro Football Talk says the targets are believed to be Jadeveon Clowney and tackle Greg Robinson. Maybe that's so. If they're going to get to number 1, you would think the target would be Clowney. If they're trying to work the phones to get up to number 2 overall in the draft, then maybe you're looking at Sammy Watkins. But what do you think? Do they stay at 9? And if so, who do you think would be there? Who will be for the Bills there? And maybe that's where they pick in tomorrow's draft. Will Jake Matthews last that long at number 9? Will the wide receiver Mike Evans last that long? Will tight end Eric Ebron be there at number 9? Probably will. Give us your thoughts tonight. The phone lines are open. Who do you want the Bills to pick tomorrow? Not who you think they will, not who you hope they will, but who you really want them to have in the on the roster after the first round tomorrow. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Who would be your pick? Who would make it good for you if the Bills reach up and make a pick tomorrow? A couple of tweets already. Carl Stadium tweets in, if my Bills trade up, it'll be a huge mistake. Wait and get an offensive lineman at 9. If not, trade down. Chance Benke tweets in, only one choice in my mind, trade up, get Watkins. I'll take Matthews or Ebron at 9. Please no Lawan. A couple of tweets in already, but who do you think? Who would you want to have on the Buffalo roster tomorrow in the first round? 803-0550, the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You'll get your calls in a second. So that's the Pro Football Talk report. The Bills reportedly, quote, burning up the phone lines in an effort to work out a deal that would vault them from number 9 to number 1 or 2. Number 1, of course, helped by the Houston Texans Texans GM Rick Smith in an interview today said, he said, quote, enough conversations to legitimately move from the first overall pick, but he did not disclose any potential trade partner or the seriousness of any potential deals, or did he quantify how legitimate things stand on the eve of the draft. Clowney's up there, obviously. There are quarterbacks in play, obviously, in the first round. And if the reports are to be believed, the Buffalo Bills are burning up the phone lines to try to get up there. Now, we talked about the quarterbacks. They are in play. Johnny Manziel, we did a ton of interviews today, media interviews in New York at the NFL Play 60 Youth Football Festival. He said he would rather not land in Jacksonville, which is kind of amazing. Johnny Manziel said among the teams that might pick him, he's hoping it's not Jacksonville. The Jags with the third overall pick in the draft, they need a quarterback, a clear need in the quarterback position. But Johnny Manziel said he would rather not land with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Mayock out with his final, and I think actually only, mock draft today. He has Clowney going number one overall to South Carolina. Tackle Greg Robinson going number two to St. Louis. Jake Matthews, the other tackle, going number three. Khalil Mack going number three to Jacksonville. Jake Matthews, the other tackle, going number four to Cleveland. Sammy Watkins to Oakland at five. Then Taylor Lewan at six to Atlanta. Mike Evans of Tampa going to Tampa Bay. Justin Gilbert, the cornerback, to Minnesota at eight. And offensive lineman Zach Martin coming to the Buffalo Bills, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. He has Eric Ebron going to the New York Giants down to 12. That's Mike Mayock's mock draft. What else about the draft? Not a whole lot more. You've heard it all. We've talked about it all, and we're going to talk about it more tonight with some expert opinion coming up. One other note from the Bills, the news that came out late last night about defensive tackle Marcell Dareus, who was arrested Monday night in Cleburne County, Alabama, on felony drug charges. Bills GM Doug Whaley released a statement this afternoon saying, quote, "We are obviously disappointed with this latest development involving Marcell Dareus. We will be in contact with the league regarding the situation. We continue to offer support and assistance to Marcell." We'll see how that plays out. So the phone lines are open. Give us a call. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. After months of draft talk, months of speculation, months of us trying to look at it from different angles and from different perspectives, the question on the table tonight for you is simple. Who do you want? Who do you want the Bills to have? Not who do you expect they'll have, who do you think they'll wind up with, but who do you want them to have in the first round tomorrow night? 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's start with Andrew in Buffalo. Hello, Andrew. You're on the air.
Yes. I want them to get Jake Matthews. I think he's an excellent pass blocker, and it would give us a chance to move Cordy Glenn back to right tackle. It'll improve our run game, and it'll improve our pass game. You got to give EJ protection. Everybody kept getting hurt last year.
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, are you sure they'd move Cordy Glenn to the right side? Because I don't know that that's the case. I don't think they would.
I heard, I mean, it's all speculation, but I heard he could either go to left guard or he could go to right tackle. I'm not sure. But Jake Matthews, he's an excellent pass blocker. I don't know if you watched him in college or not. But
I have. I watched the video.
Probably the best pass blocker coming in the league.
Yeah, I have watched him. He plays right tackle, has played right tackle. Cordy Glenn, the last I heard, and I didn't hear it from the guy in the street corner, I heard from Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley, they like him at left tackle. They probably are going to keep him at left tackle, Jake Matthews notwithstanding. Let's go to Jonah in Cranberry Lake. Hello, Jonah. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want the Bills to get Jake Matthews because I believe they need an upgrade over Eric Pierce at right tackle, and it would help the run game. And I have one question. Do you think that Robert Woods could develop into a number one receiver for the Bills?
Yes, I do think Robert Woods could develop into a number one receiver, which is not to say that they might not take a receiver tomorrow or Friday or even on Saturday, but I do think Robert Woods could. Needs to stay healthy, obviously, and I think I'm looking for continued development from Robert Woods in his second year in the league. But, yeah, I think he has the makings of a number one receiver in the league, but he needs to take a big step forward this year. Jason in Cheektowaga. Hello, Jason. You're on the air.
Hello, John. I wanted to take Jake Matthews at number nine because I've watched this guy in college. This guy just dominates both the run and the pass. And they were showing some film on him on the NFL Network, and the guy is just unbelievable. He just doesn't stop, and he's got a great pedigree, obviously, you know, coming from the Matthews and whatnot. But I'm a little concerned that he might not be there. But a lot of people seem to think, calling in, that they like Matthews a lot. But I don't know. I just really hope that they can grab him, because we need offensive line help. I just don't think they're going to get – how's E.J. Manuel going to get the ball out if he doesn't have anybody blocking for him? That's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, it's a fairly common opinion. A lot of people believe the same things you do, Jason. Does Jake Matthews last until number 9? That's a question. I think if he were there at 9, and if there was, if the options were the Bills at number 9, if they sit at number 9, I believe if the options are Jake Matthews, Eric Ebron, or, who else would be there at number 9? Well, if it's those two, I hope they take Ebron, but they just might take Jake Matthews because of the reasons you cite, to help, in pass protection. I would prefer, if those two at number 9, I would prefer that they take Eric Ebron, but we'll see. Let's take a call from Julian in Rochester. Hello, Julian. You're on the air.
Hello, guys. First of all, I would just like to see him move up, actually, and get Jadeveon Clowney. I know it's kind of far-fetched, but I just can't imagine Jadeveon Clowney on our defensive line. I think it would do so great for that defense, especially with the loss of Bird. It would put a lot of pressure on the defense or on the opposing offense. Especially for the young defensive back that we have right now, that would help tremendously. Our linebacking core is all right, but it would help the whole scheme of the defense, and you wouldn't be able to double up on anyone on that defensive line. It would be a nightmare for the opposing offense.
Julian, are you willing to give up a first-rounder, the first-rounder it would take to move up to get Clowney?
You know what? Actually I would, because, we haven't been to the playoffs in 14, almost 15 years.
14.
At some point, you got to kind of just go for it. You got to make a big splash. I know it's not what people want to do, but at this point, it's like, why not? What have we lost? We've had first round picks. We've had top 10 picks for the past I don't know how many years, and it still hasn't really turned out that great for us. We're still not making the playoffs. So if you can get a player that can change the one side of the ball, I say go for it.
And you're convinced that he can change it? You're convinced that he would not be a...
No, I'm not saying that he himself can do it, but I think him along with Mario Williams and Marcel Darius and Kyle Williams, I think it would definitely be a lot to deal with for an opposing offense, absolutely.
All right, it certainly would. He's, by all accounts, a great player. By what you can see on video, a great player. We all know the questions about Clowney when it comes to his work ethic. His own college coach, Steve Spurrier, called that in question when he said, essentially, he wasn't the hardest worker he's had there in the last few years. But I can't remember who it was. We had so many guests on. About a week ago, I believe it was Dan Shaka of Our Lads Guide, and I said, is, in fact, Clowney a generational player, a future Hall of Famer? And I consider Dan Shaka to be a very astute personnel guy as, an outsider in the league. And he said, well, no, we don't know that. We don't know that he is a potential Hall of Famer, a generational-type player. We see on video how good he is at South Carolina. We see the physical gifts, the size and speed ratio that people drool about when they talk about NFL prospects, but we don't know. So if you're moving up to draft him at number 1 overall, or number 2 overall, let's say, you're going to have to give up next year's first rounder, and probably more than that, as a matter of fact. These are questions we're going to ask Mark Dominic coming up at 8:30 tonight, the former Bucks general manager. You're going to have to give up a lot, an awful lot to do that. So you better be sure. And for Julian to just say, we've had some picks that worked out, some haven't. No, that doesn't cut it. You got to be exactly sure of what you're getting. And I don't know if Clowney affords you that kind of certainty. I don't know that he does. It's a crapshoot, and maybe more of a crapshoot for a guy who has had some questions about his work ethic in his most recent college career. But if you're going to give up next year's first rounder and more to move up and get him, you better have a strong conviction on him that he is the guy. And it can't be, we swung and missed on a few other first rounders, so what's the difference if this one's good, if this one's good or not? You can't be like that. You've got to be 99% sure, as sure as you can be. Let's go to Jim in Dallas. Hello, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I have not believed that they were going to move up. I haven't wanted them to move up, and I thought it was Sammy Watkins. But your discussion of maybe moving up to number 1 and number 2 has made me think maybe it's Khalil Mack. And I'm saying that because they've gone out and got Corey Graham, who's a Buffalo native. They've gotten Mike Williams, who's a Buffalo native. The, you know, the team is up for sale. And just from a community standpoint, a public relations standpoint, what would be more impactful than getting potentially the best college football player to ever play in the Buffalo area?
You want me to answer that? You know what would be more impactful, Jim, is winning, being a playoff contender. That would be more impactful, quite frankly. Don't you agree?
Mike Mayock has said that Cleo Mack is the best player in the draft, right?
Yep. That's what he says, and everybody doesn't agree with that, but that's what he says. I think he's a great player, too, but I don't think if they move, if it's Khalil Mack thereafter, which I'm not sure it is, but I don't think they make that move because he went to University at Buffalo. Just as I don't think that's why they brought Corey Graham back or Mike Williams back. I think they're trying to win, and that's to me, that's ultimately what you're looking to do here is win games. That would be the greatest thing they could do to get the community to embrace the team more than they do now, as a matter of fact. Joe in East Aurora. Hello, Joe. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just want to say I just think the Bills should take Mike Evans because he's 6'5", and he's huge, and he can get up and get the ball for EJ. So that's my thinking. So let me know how you think.
All right. Well, yeah, I agree with you. I like Mike Evans a lot. It's probably going to take some maneuvering in the first 8 picks tomorrow night to do it. I don't think he'll be there at number 9. You probably wouldn't have to move up to 1 or 2, but you might have to move up to 5, 6 to ensure that you can get Mike Evans, which, again, now what's the cost of that? Maybe not a first rounder, but certainly a second rounder, at least a second rounder plus, to make that kind of a move. So there are costs involved in doing that. Is Mike Evans worth that kind of move? I don't know. We're talking tonight with callers, Bills fans. Who do you want them to have? Not what you think they'll do tomorrow night, not what you anticipate, what the mock drafts say, but what do you want them to do tomorrow night? What do you want to have the Bills come out of that first round with when the first round ends tomorrow night? Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter as well, at John Murphy Show. Who do you want them to wind up with when the first round is over? Andy Mack tweets in, Whaley said that if he's going to miss, Clowney is worth missing on. Did he say that? I don't know. I don't know if he said that. Scott Johns tweeted in, trade down. I think Clowney not worth the trade of draft picks. Take the tight end from Carolina. Tony Papagallo tweets in, Sammy Watkins is my choice. You know what? If you're going to move up, Sammy Watkins is my choice too. Andy Mack tweets in, I want Clowney. I want that dominant defensive line. Rick Fan tweets in, for Bills, I'd want Evans or Matthews. Jake Matthews or Mike Evans. Sal Alessi tweets in, being a big UM fan besides Bills, I want Taylor Lewan. I haven't heard his name associated with the Buffalo Bills much lately. Brian Worthy tweets in, trade down between 13 and 16 and get Kyle Fuller. Worry about a tackle or a wide receiver in the second round. Not too many people arguing for a trade down, but that might be the play to make. Again, that's a question we're going to put to Mark Dominic a little bit later on in the show. But what do you think? Who do you want to have on the Buffalo Bills roster after tomorrow night's first round? 803-0550, the number. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a call from Paul in Hawaii. Hello, Paul.
Hello, John. How are you?
Okay.
I just want to get your take on the Darius incident. Sorry if you already touched on it. But I know there's a few players that I just get the sense that kind of tug at your heartstrings, you know, as far as I really think you like Leotis, and
yep.
I feel that you really like Marcel, and I was just wondering, when you first heard that incident, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I mean, like I think most people here, and Doug Whaley said it, I'm disappointed. I do like Marcel, and find myself rooting for him because I think essentially he's a pretty good kid, but it's disappointing. We don't know, exactly how that's going to play out, whether there will be a suspension involved, and we'll see. But I'm disappointed in him. I think all of us do. Any Bills fan would have to say, they're disappointed about the way that played out. Let's go to Jim in Tonawanda. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I got caught up in all this hype, and I just went on YouTube and looked at some of the stuff. The guy we have to get is Sammy Watkins. I don't know how we're going to get him, but he is a star.
Yeah, he's good. He's the best receiver, I think, by a mile in this draft. He is a complete receiver. He is not a big receiver, not a big red zone target like many people have been looking for, but certainly big enough and especially good enough to make plays. You can find him on YouTube. You can watch his highlights. And I think that you say, I don't know how we're going to get him. Well, they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to move up to the top, let's say, four picks in the draft and probably give up next year's first rounder to do it. John in Buffalo. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hey, John, what do you think about sitting back and just sitting in our spot at nine and hopefully Eric Ebron from UNC falls to us, give EJ a big target at tight end with some athleticism, and then in the second round possibly moving up to take the 6'6 wide receiver out of Florida State, Calvin Benjamin, give EJ a couple big, strong, athletic targets downfield?
Well, I mean, I like Ebron a lot, you know, and I think if they are there at nine and if Ebron's there, and, it might come down to Ebron or Jake Matthews if Matthews happens to be there at nine. That's doubtful, I think, at this stage. But I like Ebron a lot, and I could definitely live with that. And, yeah, Kelvin Benjamin, second round, a big target. You're right. I mean, you look at it, when it's all said and done, let's talk next Monday about this. I'll be interested to see how many pass-receiving targets the Bills wind up with in the last two drafts, you know, when we revisit this on Monday. Because if they take, Ebron in the first round and Kelvin Benjamin in the second round, and you put that together with what do we have last year, Goodwin and Robert Woods and even Chris Gregg down there at seventh, I mean, that's a lot of targets in the passing game, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but you better be ready to play those guys and hopefully get contributions from those guys. Greg in San Antonio. Greg, welcome. You're on the air. Hello, Greg. You're gone. Let's go to Tim in Warsaw, New York. Hi, Tim.
Hey, John. I talked to you yesterday, but I want to ask you this. What about we do something crazy? I mean, these guys are scared a little bit about their job. New owner, new stadium. They don't know if they're working. They do whatever. So here's my scenario. Stay at nine. Best available based on need. So it could be a tackle. It could be a safety. It could be whatever. But then you go ahead and trade next year's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I know this is wild. And I'm sorry, John. It's wild, and you're not going to like it. But
you're right. I don't already.
2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 to move up into the first or early second round. Now get your receiver and then trade again your 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 from this year to go back up in the bottom of the second round and get another linebacker or whatever and just fill all your needs. And then if the new owner takes over, you filled every need with a top 60 player.
So you're saying that after 2 years of drafting, the Bills would have a total of three players from those 2 years?
No, I'm not saying that at all because, look, we drafted players in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round that aren't even on the team. That's horrible drafting. But we have...
When did we do that? When did the Bills do that?
Eric Fine at tight end at 4 in the 4th round. Aaron Maven at number 1. We've horribly drafted.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is just get up into the top. Get up into the top, trade the rest of the picks, and get in the top. And make sure you're not chasing after who you think may possibly be good.
Okay, well, you're right. I don't like it, and I think it is insane. And I think, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're talking about winding up with three players out of 2 years' worth of drafts. That is insane. You're hanging some of the mistakes of the past regime on the current regime, which I think is a mistake. Last year, draft picks, if you want to, you said we miss on them, and the Bills miss on them. Last year, Manuel Woods, Alonzo Goodwin, Duke Williams, Meeks, Chris Gregg. The only one who wasn't on the roster full-time was Dustin Hopkins. The year before, Gilmore, Glenn in the second round, T.J. Graham, Nigel Bradham, Ron Brooks, and, seventh, six-rounders, Potter, Asper, Tank Carter, Zebre Sanders. Yeah, you're right. That's insane, and I don't like it. Let's go to Chuck in Buffalo. Hello, Chuck. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Murph?
Not much.
What's the wide receiver from Florida, that played with EJ Manuel? Is he coming out this year? What is he considered, a first or a second?
Calvin Benjamin, probably a second rounder from FSU, not from Florida. Probably second rounder, I would think. Maybe
wouldn't
late first round.
A little smart trying to get him a receiver at second, that he played with, got chemistry with? you know, the guy's pretty good. I've seen some tapes on him.
Yeah, I agree. He is pretty good. I've watched him play some games and watched some tape in the last 4 months. He is pretty good and a big wide receiver. I think Mike Evans is a better big wide receiver if they can get him. Let's go to Chris in Rochester. Hello, Chris.
Hi, John. I think we should go with Mike Evans. He's just an incredible target. He's tall. Buffalo's been lacking that size, and I think on third down and in the red zone, that's someone EJ can capitalize with, and I think that's what we're missing to convert those third downs and get in the end zone.
And red zone especially, I think, would be where he would be a major addition. Dave in Buffalo. Hello, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
Good.
Good, yeah. I think the Bills should go up to Greg Robinson if they're going to trade up. And the reason is because, you know, if you look back at some of the games the Bills have lost the last couple of seasons, you know, it's the inability to make big plays at the wide receiver position. And, you know, I think potentially we have that fixed with Mike Williams and also the inability to stop the run. And I think we have that fixed with Brendan Spikes. So that leaves, you know, protecting our quarterback. And I think if you can get a solid lineman in Greg Robinson to give EJ time, it'll hamper, you know, help with his injuries, and it'll help with him getting the ball down the field. Lining up the Nelson deal.
All right, thanks. It would take a lot to move up to get him, I would think. Many people put Greg Robinson right up there, second, third, maybe fourth pick in the draft. A couple of other tackles just a notch below him, Jake Matthews in particular, and maybe even Zach Martin of Notre Dame. But, you know, I haven't heard this, but Pro Football Talk mentioned that Robinson was one of the Bills' targets when they were making supposedly these burning up the phone line calls today. But maybe that's who the target is. I don't know. I have a hunch it's probably more likely to be Sammy Watkins. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and just take a little break from draft talk for a moment or two and talk with a guy who backed up E.J. Manuel at quarterback last year. Thad Lewis wound up getting 5 starts at quarterback for the Bills last year. We'll talk with him about the offseason conditioning program, about the draft day when he came out in 2010, and a variety of other topics. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get back to your phone calls on the draft when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Lewis out of the shotgun, the snap. Looks, now he's going to run. Diving into the end zone, he's in. Touchdown! Touchdown, Thad Lewis! Touchdown, Buffalo! And he's going right into the crowd for the Buffalo Bounce.
That's how it started in his second career NFL start, his first start with the Buffalo Bills last October. Thad Lewis and the Bills against the Cincinnati Bengals, that touchdown run 5 minutes into the game. Thad Lewis, Bills quarterback, live on the line with us right now. Thad, you remember that moment? Do you think about that touchdown run at all?
No doubt, I cannot forget it, man. My first Bills touchdown, the first Bills start, it was very exciting.
The place went wild, and that was a kind of a wild game. You had the playoff-bound Bengals really on the run in that game, didn't you?
Oh yeah. Well, unfortunately, we couldn't pull it out, but man, it was a great game and a great confidence builder to see some of the things you needed to work on that week.
Did you feel, Thad, that you caught a lot of maybe even Bills fans by surprise by the way you stepped in and played in that game?
I would say so, because a lot of people didn't know who I was before I even got traded here. I haven't had any starting experience except the one game, but to be 5 weeks into it and 6 weeks into it, actually, I had to run the Bills offense. I could see some of the fans being kind of skeptical as I was getting out there to start, you know, for the Bills that week.
And even as the game went along, and this is last October 13th, Bills and Bengals, the Bills down by 7 points in the fourth quarter with just about a minute to go, and then this happened.
Lewis ready to go. The snap. Again, looks downfield. Cocks his arm, fires downfield. He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! 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 Flash Goodwin! Touchdown! 40 yards! 40 yards from Thad Lewis!
Extra point tied it up. Bengals won in overtime. I would think as a quarterback, Dad, there's not a much prettier sight than watching Flash Goodwin streak down the sideline and beat his man.
Exactly. You know, we kind of have the Goodwin rule. You know, if he's one-on-one, give him a chance and throw it up in the air, go get it. And so I kind of saw the matchup, and I gave him a shot, and he did just that.
That was a great play on what was a pretty good day, the first of your 5 starts for the Buffalo Bills last season. We're live on the line with Bills quarterback Thad Lewis. Thad, can you talk about last year and just how crazy it was for you? I mean, you kind of bounced around a little bit from you went to the Browns and then went to Detroit and then came to Buffalo, and you were signed the week before the season opener. I mean, you had to feel like you didn't know whether you were coming or going there for a while at the beginning of last year.
last year, very uncertain about my career at the time, and you know, knowing my role and things of that nature. And I can honestly say this probably was the first year I've been in the NFL. I kind of knew, you know, my role going into the offseason program with the team. And I'm just happy Buffalo gave me that opportunity.
Did you feel like you proved something? You must feel like you demonstrated something to the decision makers here at One Bills Drive by the five starts you had last year, huh?
Definitely think I did not enough, but did something to give them something to feed off of going to this offseason to hopefully pay close attention to me to see me build on it. I wouldn't say I was content with what I did. I definitely could get better at that, but I did enough to actually get an opportunity to bring me back and you know, have me an opportunity to make this team again as a backup quarterback.
One of the things you did was beat the Dolphins, your hometown team, twice. How much did you hear about that when you went home to the Miami area this offseason?
A couple guys called me and said, you can't come home because you beat the hometown team. But a lot of people were actually excited and actually got an opportunity to see me play, who haven't saw me play since college. And, you know, just going against the hometown team, I would say it was more of a division rival, seeing the Chip Kelly and Dan Marino's play against each other. And I was in those shoes, and so I wanted to have the bragging right. So it was a great team effort and great team win both times we played them.
A couple of wins for Thad Lewis at quarterback against the Dolphins last year. We're on the line with the Bills' backup quarterback. Hey, Thad, let me run a few names by you. We're approaching the draft, which starts tomorrow night. You left Duke and came out in 2010. See if you recognize these names. Mike Kafka, John Skelton, Jonathan Crompton, Rusty Smith, Tony Pike. What do all those guys have in common? You know?
They were drafted and I wasn't.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And I don't think any of those guys are in the league anymore.
Right.
Along with Tim Tebow, by the way.
And another one that was in Buffalo, Levi Brown.
Levi Brown,
Played in the All-Star game with Levi. So I sat home with seven rounds and didn't hear my name called. It was pretty discouraging, but got that one phone call with a free agent deal with the St. Louis Rams, and I knew I had to make the best of my situation.
So it was disappointing. And did you think that maybe later in the draft, by the third day, that you might hear your name called that year in 2010?
At least the fourth round, you know, maybe to the seventh round. But, you know, obviously, you know, that wasn't my destiny or how I was, you know, going to take my journey into the NFL. So, you know, I had to play the cards that were dealt. And I think I've done a pretty good job playing the cards that I have been dealt.
Hey, Thad, knowing how close you are with your college coach, David Cutcliffe, down there at Duke, what did he say to you after that draft went and you did not get selected? Did he have any words of advice for you?
After I signed my free agent contract, he basically told me, hey, you got to take advantage of the opportunities. Remember some of the things you have, and, you know, you got to go out there and compete. And, you know, he said that's part of it. You know, if you're scared of competition, then this is not what you need to do. So, you know, obviously, me being a very strong competitor, you know, I made the best of it. I actually made the 53-man roster that year.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You didn't get a chance to play that year, though, right?
No, I didn't get a chance. After 2 weeks, they cut me in, and I finished the rest of the season on practice squad. But
right.
Just to make an opening day roster as a young kid coming out of college, when the odds are stacked against you as an undrafted free agent, was pretty encouraging to me.
Thad Lewis is our guest, and Thad, you've been here now for about 3 weeks, part of the voluntary off-season conditioning program. What has that been like for you and the other guys in the quarterback room so far?
It's been fun, actually. It's been a very tough, rigorous schedule, you know, with lifting and running and things like that, but it's something that the team obviously need. You know, I guess we can look back on the film and say it's a couple of games that we should have won. So now is the time to think about it as, you know, you on that last set, running-wise, as well as lifting weights, saying, you know, we came so close last year, so, you know, we got to do whatever we need to do to get it done.
Have you been able to spend much time with the new quarterback coach, Todd Downing, yet?
Yes, actually. We call him TD. He's no stranger to me because I was with him in Detroit.
That's right.
But it's an extra added addition, you know, when Coach Hackett has some things to do, you actually have that reliable source that you can actually talk to, and he can fill you in on things like that, and just to have two guys on the same page is actually helping the quarterback room out a lot.
Got to be a world of difference, not just for you, but even for EJ, whose first year in the league was last year, and Jeff Toole, who's in the same boat as EJ. I mean, you guys finally get a full off season to absorb this offense, and you've had a chance to play in Nathaniel Hackett's offense last year.
Yeah, man. It's tremendous going out, knowing exactly what you're doing. And, you know, the whole thing now is basically, you know, ironing out the kinks, getting the communication things of that nature down, because we're no huddle and we want to go fast. But at the same time, you want to be efficient and everybody be on the same page. So getting the opportunity to do that has been tremendous. It's been great. And, you know, it's been going pretty smooth, you know, so far.
I know you guys will be in for workouts tomorrow in the morning. Do you or do players get together and watch the NFL draft as it unfolds?
I actually watch it every year, you know, because I remind myself as I watch it every year that, you know, I didn't get the opportunity some of these kids are getting. So, and some of these kids are coming in the league trying to take your job. So whatever you need to do to continue to keep a job, you know, it's kind of, you know, it encouraged me every year, you know, to make sure I stay up on my game. But also, I'm proud of some of the kids, you know, that I might even know personally that's getting the opportunity to come to this league.
Well, Thad, we thank you very much for being on the air with us. We know we'll see you around here during the workout programs. Good luck to you. Thanks for being on with us tonight.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Thad Lewis, Bills quarterback. How about that, the Goodwin rules? I'd never heard of that before. When Marquise Goodwin's got single coverage, that's where the ball's going. Pretty interesting stuff. Yeah, how about that list of quarterbacks drafted before Thad Lewis? I think I got them all. Tim Tebow, Jimmy Clausen, Colt McCoy. All right. Mike Kafka, John Skelton from Fordham, Jonathan Crumpton, Rusty Smith, Tony Pike, some guy named Sean Crawford, I guess. I mean, drafted that year. Most of them not in the league. Here's Thad Lewis. Started 5 games for the Bills last year. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and have more draft talk when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Great to hear from Thad Lewis. A little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I kind of want him like that, I guess, right? About not being drafted in 2010. He had some good moments last year for the Bills at quarterback. Thad Lewis, thanks to him for joining us on the show tonight. Hey, we've only got a couple hours left in our Bills at M&T Bank Predict the Picks contest. It runs out at midnight tonight. Actually, 11:59 p.m. tonight. So what's going to happen here is you go to buffalobills.com/predictthepicks. You'll be asked a series of 10 multiple-choice questions about the draft. And anyone who answers 80% or more of the questions correctly is entered to win the grand prize, which is an exclusive meet and greet with the first pick in the draft for the Bills. But again, 11:59 tonight is the deadline. Go to buffalobills.com/predictthepicks. It's the Bills and M&T Bank Predict the Picks 2014 Draft Contest. More about the draft coming up after the top of the hour. Kevin Weidel from ESPN will join us. I believe he's in Bristol, Connecticut. And at 8:30, Mark Domenech, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks, will get his draft room strategy the night before the draft. Time to take a few more phone calls here. The question we put out there is, who do you want in tomorrow night's first round? Not who do you think the Bills will wind up with, but who do you want when it's all said and done tomorrow? Brian in Binghamton. Hi, Brian. Welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, John, I want the Bills to get Watkins. I think if they're trading up, you don't trade up to get Clowney, because the defensive line is already a strength of our team. So I don't think you mortgage your future to add a piece to something that's already a strength on your team. I think we need Watkins. You're talking about adding a Julio Jones, A.J. Green-type weapon to that offense, and we're not really going to be able to see if E.J. can flourish until he has a guy like that. I mean, yeah, we have some fast receivers, but we don't have anyone the caliber of Watkins in terms of overall ability.
I agree with you, and I agree with you on moving up, too. I think I know Clowney has the potential to be a great player, but it's almost overkill to move up and to give up. We're talking about giving up next year's first rounder, as a matter of fact. I think that's a lot to do for overkill at one position. Adrian is on the line with us. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
How you doing, John? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to call and say that I think Odell Beckham Jr. is definitely the best option for the Bills. It would allow them to stay put at 9, and it would give them the opportunity to replace Stevie with a possibly better receiver. I think if he comes in this year, he could possibly be the best receiver on the roster. You could also take that money that you would be using on Stevie and sign possibly C.J. Spiller next year. I'll hang up and let you tell me what you think.
All right. Thanks, Adrian. Thanks for calling. I think you are correct that Odell Beckham Jr. should be there at number 9. He has moved up most people's draft boards to the point where he is, you know, third or maybe fourth best receiver on the board. And some people think a better choice than Mike Evans, different style of receiver than Mike Evans. I agree with you there. I looked up, you know, he ran really well, 4.38 in the 40-yard dash. I believe Brandon Cooks In fact, I'm sure of it, was the fastest receiver clocked at the combine. You know what Sammy Watkins ran? 40-yard dash? Jay, you want to take a stab at that? Sammy Watkins, Clemson?
4.4?
4.39.
4.39, yeah.
That's why he's up there. That's why I think he's the target if they're moving up, to go up and get him if they're moving up. If not, sit there at 9, take Beckham if you want, take the tight end, Ebron. We'll resume this discussion after the top of the hour, and you're welcome to phone in your last-minute draft prospect questions for Kevin Weidel from ESPN. He is their college football and NFL draft analyst, Kevin Weidel, coming up in just a minute after the break of the top of the hour. One more hour to go. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller! You can't stop him! How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show. Tomorrow night at this time, the names start coming off the board. Finally, the NFL draft just 24 hours away. If you've been listening to the show for the last several months, you know that on an almost weekly basis, we've been going to our draft go-to guy, Kevin Weidel, who is a college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN, and we're going to him again. He is live on the line with us from ESPN headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut, Kevin Weidel. Hi, Kevin. How are you tonight?
Murph, what's going on, man? It's exciting times.
It really is.
Finally here, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
I've asked you every week, are we going to you too often? Are we going to the well too often? Have we done that, Kevin? Tell me the truth.
Nah, this is exciting stuff. Like I said, especially tonight, you start hearing, find out some information this week. And
yeah.
It's been so boring for the last couple of weeks. You know, everyone's in meetings. You're not hearing much. And finally starting to hear some buzz, and it's, you know, it's exciting.
So we haven't gone to you too much. So what are you doing tomorrow night? No, I'm just kidding, Kevin.
We got... I'll be locked up, man.
Yeah,
I
me too.
I might jump on with you guys Friday. Maybe Friday.
We'll work that out. But thank you. Your availability this spring has been great. We thank you. We want to invite listeners, if you have last-minute questions on the draft, some of the prospects in the draft, this is the guy to go to. He works right alongside Todd McShay at ESPN, helping put together their draft boards. He is Kevin Weidel. Phone lines are open for the next few minutes. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What role do you play there in Bristol over the next few days? And what have you been doing down there, Kevin?
No, you know, just a bunch of radio hits and doing some internet videos. And, you know, what we'll do during the draft is, we'll be analyzing online the picks, you know, just basically breaking down the prospects and how they fit and doing that stuff for a bunch of dot-com duties. You know, obviously I'd like to be doing a little bit more, but, you know, at this point, you know, we got to fulfill our needs with dot-com. And, you know, so it'll be exciting. I'm just excited to see it, to watch this unfold.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of drama tomorrow night. I think there's going to be some quarterbacks falling. I just don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, I think it's going to be really, really exciting. And it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, no question about that. I feel like I've said this every year for the last several years, Kevin, but this time I feel like I really mean it. I can't remember going into the first round with so much uncertainty right from the top of the draft. I mean, no one really knows what Houston's going to do, and you can almost say that right down through the entire first round tomorrow night. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think it's becoming clear. I mean, I think you're starting to things are starting to become a little bit more in focus, if you will. You know, obviously with Houston, it's going to set a chain reaction. I think ultimately it's going to be Clowney. Now, you know, there's been a swell over the last few days of Khalil Mack at one, you know, and also if they feel comfortable with Bortles as their quarterback, you know, there's no point in taking a one if they can trade back and acquire some more picks. So, but ultimately when it comes down to it, I think it's going to be Clowney off the board at one. I think Greg Robinson's going to go to St. Louis at two. Khalil Mack at three would be my guess at Jacksonville. And then Sammy Watkins at four, Mike Evans at five. That would leave Jake Matthews at six. So that would be my guess right now just, you know, currently just talking to you on the phone, that would be my guess of the first six picks, barring there isn't a trade that just blows the whole thing up.
Well, I was going to say, do you do that regardless of who's picking there? I mean, are you matching up needs, or are you saying that's really where you think anybody is going to choose those players at that position in the first round?
No, I think it's, you know, tied with needs and to the team. You know, obviously, if it stays that way and those teams are drafting in that slot, that's just how I feel like it's going to play out.
Kevin, what do you make of all, I mean, there haven't been a lot, but some reports, persistent reports, that the Buffalo Bills, our team here in Western New York, are, you know, as the quote went on Pro Football Talk today, burning up the phone lines in an effort to vault them up to number one or two. What do you make of those reports? What have you heard about that?
I don't know if it's realistic. I don't know. I just don't know if they have the ammo to do it,
mm-hmm.
number one. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's the smart move, if I would do it. To me, I'd sit back at nine. I still think you can get a pretty good player. I'm looking at a guy, you know, maybe if a Mike Evans would happen to fall, which I don't know. I doubt it would. But, you know, you're looking at guys like Eric Ebron at nine. You're looking at maybe a Zach Martin who would fit at a right tackle position. You know, opposite, you keep Cordy Glenn at left. And I think Zach Martin can come in and be your right tackle. If not, I think you got a really good starting guard for the next 10 years. You know, he's a name that's been really hot right now, Zach Martin. So, you know, I think anywhere from starting with Buffalo at 9 through 13 to St. Louis' second pick, I think you're going to see Zach Martin come off the board. So, to me, I just wouldn't trade up. I don't think St. Louis wants to get away from Greg Robinson. You know, I don't think they want to trade back to 9 because then Greg Robinson's out of their hands. I know they're pretty strong. They have a pretty target on Greg Robinson. They have a plan in place, you know, to get that offensive line going. So, you know, to me, it looks like Buffalo. I think it's rumors, Murph, to be honest with you. And I think they're smart just to sit back and let a player fall to them at 9 because you're going to get a good player at 9 if you done the evaluation process right, which I'm sure Whaley and those guys have done up there. And they'll get a good one at 9, I bet.
Let me ask you this. As far as, you know, the Bills brain trust, what do they benefit from by if, in fact, they start those rumors about burning up phone lines, interested in the first or second pick overall? How, if at all, does that benefit the Buffalo Bills, would you think?
I don't think it does.
I don't
think necessarily it's them starting it or,
right.
You know, maybe just some interest. You know, they've talked about having some interest in a player. You know, it could start from a, you know, even a Whaley press conference. Someone takes it the wrong way and,
sure.
Oh, you know, starts a rumor. So, it, to me, you know, I just don't think they benefit. Maybe St. Louis at 2 or Houston at 1 benefits because then, you know, hey, you know, Buffalo's interesting coming up. Who, you know, you guys want to come up, you know. So it's a big rumor game. You got to watch who you trust. There's always a lot out there the
right.
Days leading up to the draft, and you just got to really kind of block out the clutter because a lot of it, 95% of it's, you know, not anywhere near the truth.
Kevin, one former NFL general manager who I spoke with in the last few days told me that his standard operating procedure was to touch base with all 31 other teams in the days prior to the draft, just to see where they're at, to take
the
temperature.
Yeah, to gauge it, you know,
to
gauge it, to see what, you know, the value is and who's out there, who's looking for what, and who's got interest. And sometimes, you know, you can piece two and two together just talking to two separate teams. So, you know, it's always a game, and you know, the more you know, power's knowledge, obviously, in this draft and knowing what other teams want ahead of you or behind you. So, it's a big game. It is a strategy. You know, obviously there's a strategy from it, and it's the more this thing's blown up, the more rumors you're just hearing that are just, I think, totally off the wall. I've tried to shut off Twitter, honestly. I haven't been on there or tweeted anything in the last 3 days. I just really, it's really been amazing just to watch. It's been entertaining, to be honest.
We're on the line with Kevin Weidel. He is our go-to guy in the draft. He's an NFL draft analyst for ESPN. Want to get to some phone calls for Kevin, and if you have a comment about a particular player, now's the time to phone it in. Last chance, by the way, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I got one player to ask you about, Kevin, and we just did a televised show that we taped the other day on the local TV here in Buffalo, and we all had to pick, we all had to make our prediction of who the Bills would draft. Since Eric Ebron was gone, Jake Matthews was gone, so my turn came to pick for the Bills at number 9, and I chose Odell Beckham Jr. What do you think? Is that realistic? Is 9 too early to draft Odell Beckham Jr.?
You know, I don't know if it's going to be too early. I think it might be just a little tad too early. I mean, I wouldn't be against him. If they do, I think he's the third best receiver in this class. I think he gives you something in the return game. not necessarily that you guys need it with having Goodwin back there, but I think he's explosive. I think he's smooth. I've been over this quite a few times on this show, just explaining about him. I think his best football is ahead of him, and you know, he's the type of guy that I really think is going to be a good player at the next level in terms of that ability to be smooth, explosive after the catch, dangerous, the ability to plant your foot and cut on a dime. He really has that after the catch. So to me, he's going to be a really good receiver. You know, if you get him in there with Woods, I feel more comfortable with Buffalo taking a bigger-bodied receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need a big physical downfield threat, red zone threat as well. So to me, that's where I think the need is for them. I wouldn't be against it because I'm a really big fan of him as a player. I just think it's going to be a little bit early for Beckham to come off the board.
Kevin Weidel, NFL draft analyst from ESPN, on the line with us. You can phone in your comments and questions at 803-0550. Let's go to Will in West Seneca. Will, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello, Will. Are you there? He is not there. Let's go to Tony on his cell phone. Tony, are you there?
0-2 here.
What's going on? Tony, on your cell phone, are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm hearing that.
There we go.
All right. Hey, Kevin, I wanted to ask you a little bit about maybe third and fourth round quarterbacks. I am not someone who thinks, that has given up on EJ and wants to go quarterback in the first or second round. But, you know, in particular, just talking about Beckham and LSU, in particular, a guy like Mettenberger or Murray, the SEC guys coming off injury, or just any other quarterbacks you have in mind as third or fourth round projected guys this year who might just turn into pretty good starters in the NFL one day in case we needed to have one on the shelf.
Anybody come to mind, Kevin?
Well, let me just say Aaron Murray, I don't think is a good fit up in that weather. I think he's physically limited. I don't know if he has the arm strength to cut through that wind up there. Mettenberger is interesting. To me, I don't know if I trust him. You know, obviously, he have the failed drug test at the combine not helping him out. To me, I think he lacks mobility. I think he his internal clock speeds up under pressure. So I just really have questions with handling pressure for Mettenberger. I really have questions handling it from a maturity standpoint. Tom Savage is an interesting name. You know, he's a guy I've talked on here, Murph, and he's been pushed up to the second round, which I've always thought was too early for him. I think right in that late third, fourth round range is when you're going to see Savage come off the board. The concerns I have is lack of mobility and needs to speed up his clock and getting through progressions at times can be a little late with decision making, but this guy's got all the physical tools. I think he's got one of the best arm talents in the entire class. He can make throws that not a lot of quarterbacks in this class can make. It showed great mental and physical toughness playing behind a poor offensive line. So I think Savage, if you can get him in that fourth-round range and kind of with the right proper and quality coaching, you can develop him. I think he comes in and be a pretty reliable backup. And then, with some quality coaching, who knows down the road, you could potentially have a starter 3-4 years down the road here.
Hey, Kevin, a question about a quarterback who probably belongs in the first or at least second round. Derek Carr, this is where you're going to tell me I'm full of baloney. But I made this comment on our show the other day. To me, he might be the safest pick of all the quarterbacks. Derek Carr, what do you think?
Well, yeah, Murph, I'm on the opposite end of you right now. What I feel like, it's easy, and I see it, it's easy to fall in love with the release. It's easy to fall in love with the arm strength and the ball. He throws a pretty ball. There's no question about it. To me, though, he's nailed this postseason process, the Senior Bowl, his pro day, combine, and that's his arena. That's where he's going to look great. The problem I have with him is pressure. And he's a guy that, what I like to say is doesn't always play with his back foot in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when pressure's coming at him, he kind of anticipates it and his feet will kind of get frenetic. And he won't always put his plant foot in the ground, stare down that gun barrel, and make a throw while taking a hit. You really saw that in the USC tape. You go to the Boise tape, you see a little bit of it. He's kind of a little bit gun-shy. I want a guy that's oblivious to pressure. I don't want a guy that anticipates pressure. And to me, Carr anticipates pressure, and that's why I think he's going to have some struggle at the next level. Yeah, and I'm not a big metrics guy, but when you break it down, he completed 69% of his passes, completion percentage, Murph. 60% of those throws were within 5 yards or less of the line of scrimmage.
Huh.
we also go through tape, and what we do is we will record all the pressure drops, meaning anything that affects your throw in terms of pressure, meaning if it was late pressure, if someone got a hit on you, coming in your face, and his completion percentage was near the lowest of all the quarterbacks we recorded. It was down near 31%, where some of the top guys, like Bortles and Bridgewater, were up near 50% or above. So to me, you better be able to handle pressure. I just have some big concerns with Carr, and that's why I think right now we have a fourth-round grade on him.
Oh, wow. Well, you're the guy. That's why I like having you on the show. You see stuff that most of the rest of us don't see. Here comes Joe, a question from Joe. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I'm actually calling to talk more about day three. Hopefully it's day two. But I went to Kingston High School class of 07. I played with John Urschel. He was a sophomore right tackle. I was our right guard. I think he's a great kid and even better player. What do you think? Where do you think he's going to go?
John Urschel out of Penn State.
Yeah, real quick, was he a rocket scientist in high school as he is in college? Yeah.
This kid was brilliant, and he is one of the most well-mannered gentlemen you will ever meet in your life.
He was named Mr. Canisius in his senior year. He's the real deal.
He graduated in like 3 years. Right now, he's like teaching classes at Penn State. It's crazy.
I know, and honestly, I'm really not surprised at it. I'm really not.
Yeah. Well, he's a guy, I think, right in the fifth round is where you're going to see him come off the board. I think late fourth, fifth round, played some guard. Some people think he can play some center and has some versatility. Certainly, I think he has the awareness and the knowledge to do it, to pick it up. He's a guy that's got to play with a little bit more balance, you know, just average athleticism, I would say, and can continue to get stronger. But, you know, he's a guy that's got great awareness, locates his targets, takes good angles, sustains his blocks. There's some limitations athletically, but that I think you're going to find a guy like Urschel who can come in fourth, fifth round range, add some depth immediately, and who knows, you know, in a couple years of development, you could have a starter at guard or potentially center.
I go back to what the great Marv Levy used to say, Kevin, about smart players get better quicker than others.
That's exactly it, because you can pick up schemes. I talked to a team, an NFL team that doesn't do sight adjustments. They don't do hot reads and sight adjustments. They rely on the smarts and the intelligence of their offensive line to be able to pick up these blitzes. So to me, more so, especially interior offensive line, it is such a big thing to be intelligent, to show awareness on tape for pressures, defensive line twists, stunts, games. So, you know, Urschel certainly has that, which is only going to help him, I think, in the future as a prospect.
Just got a couple of minutes left with Kevin Weidel, NFL draft analyst for ESPN. The phone line's open if you have a comment or a question at 803-0550. Here is Johnny John from Buffalo. You're on the air. Hello. John from Buffalo.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what do you think of the Bills trading back and getting Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the safety?
What do you think of that, Kevin?
Yeah, it depends how far you trade back. You know, Clinton Dix is my favorite safety in this class, to be honest, and he's a guy that can do it all. I love his leverage. I think he's steady in the back end. He's a guy that can come up and run support. He's really reliable in that area. He can drop down, and he's that free safety that I think they could look to as they replace Jarius Byrd. To me, it depends how far you drop back and what you're getting. You know, I think if you drop in the mid-teens, I think it's an option. But I also think there's some other safeties out there as well. Dayon Buchanan out of Washington State, Jimmy Ward's another option in the second round. So, but any time I think you can drop, if the player's not there that you love and you can drop back and pick up some picks, I think it's always a great thing to do, especially in this draft that it has so much depth at certain positions. So to me, you know, it's not a bad option. I just would wonder where Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, where you're going to take him. You know, before 15, I'd have a little bit of a problem. I think, you know, more in the late teens, early 20s is where I feel more comfortable of taking a guy like Clinton Dix.
We had a listener ask about the cornerback from Oklahoma State, Justin Gilbert. Kevin, is he the first corner to come off the board, and just about where do you think he would go tomorrow night?
It's going to be interesting with Gilbert. I think he's a little bit overrated, Murph. I do. I think he's. I think Dennard is the best corner in this class out of Michigan State, Darquez Dennard. And I think Kyle Fuller is a better player out of Virginia Tech. You look at Justin Gilbert. I know this. There's a couple teams that, you know, have in the second round. I know one team where their directors and high-ups have Justin Gilbert as a third-round grade. So, you know, there's a lot of differing opinions about Gilbert. He's long. He's fast. He's got really good ball skills, but he's also got poor technique. He's got a lot of tightness in his hips, and he lets up a lot of separation. not very physical, a little bit disinterested against the run. So I think, you know, you're looking at better football players than Denard and Fuller. But I still think, you know, Gilbert essentially could be the first one to come off the board. It's going to be interesting to see how these corners play out. But I think you'll see a corner run quicker than people, sooner than people expect. I think right after the, as we get into the 10 to 15 range, you're going to start to see a little bit of a corner run at that point.
Last question for you, Kevin. Look into your crystal ball. Who's going to make the biggest surprise in tomorrow's first round? Which team and how? What do you think?
I'm going to go on a limb here, and this is, I think, Dallas Cowboys and Johnny Manziel.
Really?
It's not, you know, put it this way, I won't be shocked.
And will they have to?
I won't be shocked.
Will they have to move to get him, or can they get him at 16 there?
It'll be interesting if he starts falling to see if they do. But I it's out there. And I don't know how, you know, reliable the source is. I feel pretty good about it, but I won't be shocked. Just put it that way.
Kevin, as always, you're great to do this with us again on a very busy night for you. We thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. We'll talk again soon. Thanks.
Sounds good, John. Appreciate it, man.
Kevin Weidel, he's been great to us over the last several months, the NFL draft analyst for ESPN. As he said, you can catch his work on ESPN.com as they go through pick by pick throughout the weekend of the draft, starting tomorrow night, 8 o'clock tomorrow night when the draft begins. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mark Dominic, another ESPN analyst. He's a former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we're going to ask him at the bottom of the hour about what goes on in these draft rooms tonight, really, 24 hours before the draft begins. In the meantime, a couple of more phone calls. Let's go to Frank in Gettysville. Frank, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, John, you know, you asked in the past hour who I would pick
if I was
the general manager.
Yes.
I'd say Johnny Manziel, just because that's the only person that I would actually move up for. And let me tell you why, John.
Please.
You know, if you didn't know he was 6 foot and you saw that he had a 6.3 rushing average and also a 70% completion rate in the SEC, I think you might have a different opinion. But I think, you know, you see that he's 6 foot and maybe he's a little bit of a bonehead. But I think, you know, he's actually underrated, I believe.
Hmm. The bonehead part doesn't bother me at all. I don't think, you know, he's ever been in really serious problems. I don't have an issue with that. But the measurables do. The measurables do. What did I read today? Again, this is 24 hours before the draft. But somebody wrote that not since 1967 has a quarterback been drafted in the first round under 6 foot tall. He's under 6 foot tall. I mean, those things mean something. The measurables mean something.
But, you know, look at Breeze. Breeze, he's doing quite well. I mean, he was in a first-round pick, but, you know, he's got the accuracy, and I think Johnny Manziel is definitely a better athlete than Breeze.
Does Manziel have the head for the game that Drew Breeze does? I'm not so sure about that.
I think he does. 70% of the SEC is pretty good.
Yeah. All right, you could be right. You could be right. As Kevin Weidel, who just got off the phone with us, said, Manziel is the most polarizing figure in the draft, not only this year, but in the last several years. Chris in Orchard Park. Hello, Chris. Welcome. You're on the air.
I would like to see us go up to get Mike Evans first. I mean, obviously, that would be my first opinion. I think we do need another big wide receiver. If we couldn't get Mike Evans, I would like to see us get Ebron in the first round and possibly Calvin Benjamin in the second round. I think we'll have two big wide receivers and, you know, a tight end. I think we'll have a good running game, good defense, and I think that will all work out. What do you think about that?
Who do you want to see in the first round?
Ebron.
Ebron. I can live with that. As I said, if they sit there at 9, which if you believe what Kevin Weidel just said, that's what he believes will happen. If they sit there at 9, then I'd be perfectly happy with Ebron. I guess hoping that maybe, and it's a long, long, long shot, that Jake Matthews might sneak down there to number 9. Probably not going to happen, but I'd be okay with Ebron. I'd be slightly less okay, I believe, with Odell Beckham Jr. there, and I think he's going to be a fine player. I just wish they could get more for the 9th overall. Then in the background, you have this trade-up scenario that the persistent reports. We've talked about them for a couple of nights. Let's see how it works out. Here is Mark. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Great.
You know, Mark, there's nothing wrong with trading up, but you can't mortgage a nice high pick for next year. I mean, I think just what you said, stay there, and if Matthews happens to fall, okay. But my pick would be Ebron. He could add so much to the team. I mean, I don't want to give a number 1 and a number 2 to move up to 3. I mean, that's too much to give. I mean, if you're there and you have that pick, that's fine. Take it. I mean, but I'd be fine. Ebron could add a lot to this team. And as for Johnny Manziel, I love Johnny Manziel, but we're committed to Manuel for another year, so the Manziel's out of the question.
All right.
So I'll hang up. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling. It does seem like a lot to move up, and I know that's very, you know, it would be a bold move. It might be a popular move in some quarters. I just think that's a lot to move up, to give up next year's first-round pick. If they're going to move up to, you know, to get Sammy Watkins or Clowney, as has been rumored, I don't believe that Robinson would be the guy, but maybe. But if they're going to move up, it's going to take a first-rounder, next year's first-rounder, plus more probably. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know that Clowney would be worth that, but we'll see. You know, as Van says, fasten your seatbelts. Here is Johnny in Depew. Hello, Johnny. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wondered your thoughts about giving the Marcell Dareus arrest and potential suspension, if in fact that's going to come, if he's a two-time offender. What's your thought on Bills looking at Aaron Donald in the first round? He really seems to slot in nicely right around that, anywhere from 8 to 12 pick. And most of the mocks that you look at, he's described as a guy who's got a big upside. I hate to see Dareus put us in that position, but is that a valid consideration, do you think?
It's somewhat valid. I'd hate to make a long-term franchise decision on a premium first-round pick based on the potential of a four-game suspension. We don't know whether that's coming down the line or not. Even if it is, four games, you know, you'd like to think that you could make decisions based on, you know, the possibility that Dareus could miss, four games and a four-game suspension. I would not want to make a decision on the draft with a top-10 draft pick based on the potential of a four-game suspension. Josh in Tonawanda. Hello, Josh. Josh, you're on the air. Are you there? Oh, he gave up. Long wait, and he gave up. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get back to ESPN, and we're going to talk with a guy who's been in the draft room the night before the draft. He did it for more than 20 years, the last five of them, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as their general manager. Now he's an ESPN analyst on the draft. You see him on ESPN all the time now. Mark Dominic is his name, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucs. What goes on in that draft room on the night before the draft? What about trading up, trading down? How do those phone calls work? We'll ask him all those questions when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The eve of the draft, the NFL draft tomorrow night. Joining us on the line right now, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 20 years experience in the NFL and personnel, and now he's an analyst on ESPN. You can catch him the next few days on ESPN Sports Center, part of their draft coverage, and NFL insider. Mark Dominic joins us on the line right now. Mark, thank you very much for doing this.
John, happy to be on. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We're all pretty excited about this, the draft finally. It seems like this draft has taken forever to get here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's been, obviously, it's the latest draft I can remember, and it feels like it's taken forever, but I think it's been an exciting draft, and I think everybody's really excited to watch it unfold, and we get to do that tomorrow night.
Mark, this is your first go-around, I believe, with ESPN and their draft coverage. What do they have you doing?
I'm kind of all over the place. You know, I've been doing some NFL insiders. I'll be doing that today. Tomorrow will be a lot of SportsCenter hits. I'll actually come in after tomorrow night's draft and do a wrap-up of first round and talk about trades and some of the movement that happened. So a lot of different things just from a general manager perspective of things that have happened over the next 24 hours.
This really is the general manager's time, isn't it? These last few days before the draft, with most of the player evaluations finished by now, it's really about wheeling and dealing and possible deals right now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was doing a year ago today. I was sitting trying to make phone calls, figuring out whether it was a good idea to move up, move back, and who had interest in which picks, and vice versa, the same thing for us, you know, whether we wanted to move up or back. So that's what I'm sure Doug Whaley's doing. That's what a lot of general managers are doing right now, is getting their boards more set now, not player-wise, but where they can move if they want to.
Hey, Mark, a lot of rumors out there about the Buffalo Bills interested in moving up. What have you heard? What's the latest you can tell us on that?
I would say I don't see that coming up. I'm not feeling that from everything I'm listening and just kind of watching where they're sitting in the draft and what this class is about. I don't think if they are moving, I don't think it's as significant as a lot of people may think it may be. Sure, they can maybe move up two or three spots if they covet, you know, a certain position or a certain player. But I don't see this big jump, because I just think the asking price is probably going to be too expensive. And I don't think Buffalo wants to kind of give up that many draft picks. That would be out of the norm for me.
What would you think, if you can hazard a guess, the asking price to move up to one or two in the draft from where the Bills sit at number nine? There's at least one first-rounder involved in a move like that, right?
Yeah, there is. And those are always tough to give up. You know, when you give up, not only, you know, obviously you're getting the first-round talent and a player that you think is so exceptional that obviously you're willing to give up the next year's one. But I would say it's going to take a lot more than that. Where they sit from a draft points chart, it's probably a first. You know, their first this year, obviously, their pick plus a second, probably a third, and the next year's one, and probably another high pick on top of that, whether it's a two next year or a two the following year. So it's going to take four or five premium picks even just to move up, you know, that many spots just to get into the number one pick overall.
Many people believe this is not the draft to do that with the depth in this draft. What do you think?
That's the way I see it, too. I think where they're picking at nine, I think they're in a great spot, a good location to really get a good player. And I think that's what's made this draft so exciting to watch from a fan's perspective, too, is it's really hard to place where the quarterback's going to go. And at the same point, there's so many talented players at offensive tackle, wide receiver, certainly the two pass rushers. So there's a lot of different players in Ebron, the tight end. I mean, there's a lot of players that you can really fall in love with, and I think that's what's making this such an interesting draft class.
Mark, in your tenure with the Tampa Bay Bucks, did you ever make a big move up the draft board? And tell me, if you did, what considerations went into that sort of move?
Well, I made two that I'm really proud of. Back in 2012, we moved back a little bit, actually, from 5 to 7, picked up an extra fourth-round pick with Jacksonville. I turned around and traded back up to get Doug Martin in the first round. Felt like he was the best back on the board and really wanted to get that fifth-year option on his contract. And then I turned around in the third round and traded back up to the bottom of the second and picked up Lavonte David. And he's obviously been a great player for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and really an all-pro type of linebacker. And so we were aggressive that year. I moved back once, but moved up twice, and then came out with Mark Barron, Doug Martin, and Lavonte David, and that was a very good foundation for what they're going to be doing in Tampa this year.
Mark, if you can, take us inside like a draft room today, the day before the draft, the night before the draft, and what are those calls like going from GM to GM?
You know, very, very casual conversations, very, you know, cursory, just trying to figure out, understand where's their perspective coming from. You know, are they going to be more aggressive? Do they feel like they're going to stand pat? You know, just kind of checking in with them just to make sure that nothing's been missed. You know, you want to call all 31 clubs because you just don't know, and you want to start dialogue now with all 31 clubs so that way you feel like when you make a call tomorrow or Friday or even Saturday, that's not the first conversation you've had. You've already kind of set the table. So that's the most important thing you can be doing today.
Do you think most teams, most clubs go into tomorrow with a game plan? Like, I've laid the groundwork, I've made a few preliminary calls, and once the names start coming off the board, then we put plan B into action? Can you even plan it out that much?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I think you've got your worst-case scenarios. You're planning on those all the time, I'm afraid. Those are important things to focus on. And then at the same point, how much can you do in terms of moving around and moving up and down the draft boards? You're looking at all different aspects, but you're certainly, you know, prepared for, you know, if you're sitting there at nine and, you know, your top eight players go, you're ready to pick and always ready to put that card in.
Somebody told me, a former personnel guy, that at this stage, even the night before the draft, you would never reveal to the teams you're talking to who it is you're interested in, if you're interested in a particular player. Is that the case from your perspective?
100% truth. You never hold it. The only person that should know today, certainly know today, is your owner should know today, and probably your head coach knows today, and your director of player personnel has a very good indication.
So when the draft starts and you start making those calls, are you obligated then to kind of clue them in? Like, we want to move up to here to get this guy. Does there ever come a point when you make your intentions clear?
Yeah, you do. You'll jump in there and you'll say, hey, look, I'm looking to move up, especially if it's close. You know, if it's a two or three spot jump, sometimes you'll be vague and say, I'm looking for an offensive guy or defensive guy. And if you make the trade, then generally, you know, the rule of thumb is you tell them who you're going to take with the team you made a trade of, whether you're trading up or you're trading back and you're asking the club, well, who are you taking? They generally will tell you because obviously the pick's going in because they've made a move. So that's kind of a common courtesy is to tell them once you've made the trade.
We're on the line with Mark Dominic, the former GM of the Tampa Bay Bucks, 20 years experience in the NFL. He's an analyst now on ESPN, a contributor on SportsCenter's NFL Insiders and part of their draft coverage over the next few days. We talked to you a lot right now, Mark, about moving up. What about moving down? Doug Whaley has said that it's almost more difficult sometimes to move down in the draft.
Well, I can tell you that sitting there in the chair, there's a lot of times where you're hoping that phone rings and it doesn't. So, yeah, moving down is always hard because you got to find a buyer that wants to come up in the first place.
And is this draft, the way this draft is structured with the personnel available here, is it more advantageous to move down knowing that it's kind of a deep draft?
Yeah, I think it is, but you don't want to go too far. I think that's the most important thing you can do is make sure you know what your limit is so that way you don't take yourself out of an elite player at a certain position.
Hey, Mark, our colleague Chris Brown spoke to you the other day at a feature he wrote about building through the draft, and I thought it was interesting. You came right out and said any draft you expect to get three starters out of each draft, right?
You're hoping to, yeah. That's your goal, is to get three starters in time. It doesn't have to happen year one, but that's your goal.
When does it have to happen by, and how do you judge a draft in terms of, you know, when do you look back and decide whether a certain draft was successful or not?
Ideally, you give yourself a couple of years to see where they're at in developmental, and it also depends on the talent of your overall football team. Clearly, sometimes early on, you might have more starters because your talent is not that good, but I think a lot of times you just look back after 3 years and really kind of look at how good are the players you've just acquired.
Hey, Mark, as we wrap things up, are there any surprises you anticipate tomorrow night? Anything that you think might surprise people about the way the first round goes on Thursday?
I think just be ready for trades. I think it's going to be very busy, so look for a good night and a lot of trades.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much. We appreciate you spending time with us tonight. Good luck to you on ESPN this week. We'll be watching.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Mark Dominic on the line with us, former GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 20 years experience in the NFL, and you can catch him on ESPN and SportsCenter on ESPN. He's one of the insiders in their draft coverage coming up over the next several days. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Just a couple minutes left in tonight's show. Thanks again to Mark Dominic from ESPN, the former Bucs general manager, for joining us tonight to give us some interesting thoughts on what goes on as far as the phone calls. He said you touch base with every other team in the league today, and just to kind of let them know where you're at and what just get a sense of where you're at. A lot of informal phone calls, he said, going on. Hey, speaking of phone calls, we'll take them. We only got about 4 minutes left, but your thoughts on who you want in the draft in the first round tomorrow night. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Who do I want if I'm the Bills tomorrow? I want Sammy Watkins, but I don't know if they are going to be able to do that. Think about our last two guests, both pretty astute observers, Kevin Weidel from ESPN and Mark Dominic just a moment ago. Kevin Weidel indicated that he thinks that's just rumor about the Bills possibly moving up to get first or second pick in the draft. Mark Dominic just said a moment ago they probably don't have enough ammunition to do that, and they're in a pretty good spot. So I think it's unlikely, but anything could happen. That's who I want. Who do I think they're going to wind up with? I think it's going to be Eric Ebron. When we taped the Channel 7 draft preview show the other day, because Chris Brown took Ebron, I was forced to take Odell Beckham Jr. I'd take him too, by the way, if the Bills have to take him instead of Ebron. But for me, the best fit for what the Bills want to do, first of all, they want to get better on offense, I believe. They want to surround E.J. Manuel with offensive talent. And I think Ebron, who fits right in there about ninth overall, would be the pick for the Bills at number nine. Are they going to move? Who knows? A lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen tomorrow, starting right with the first pick with the Houston Texans. They've done, by the way, Texans have done a great job of disguising their intentions, haven't they? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what they're going to do. They've talked to the quarterbacks. They've talked about Clowney. They've been linked to Khalil Mack. Jay Harris, our producer. Nobody knows.
Linked to trading.
Linked to trading. Yeah. Probably open to trading.
Yeah.
And get a quarterback a little bit later on. But good for them. Nobody knows how that first pick's going to go. Jay, we're going to be in for some fun here tomorrow night.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. It's my first run around inside the room here. I've never actually been here for draft day. I've been on the outside, kind of touching base back here. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
It's
going to
be
exciting.
Great. Yeah. And let's tell you what the lineup is tomorrow. From 12 noon to 3 p.m., Sal Capaccio will be in here in our palatial studio broadcasting, getting you set up for the draft. Then at 3 o'clock, show up on the Bulldog. Take us right up to our show at 7 o'clock, and we're on the air throughout the entirety of the first round. As you know, the draft starts at 8 p.m. tomorrow. We're on the air until the first round ends, guessing that's going to be 11, maybe 11:30, hopefully not much later than that, tomorrow night. So that's the lineup here right out of the studio, Jay. This place is going to be on fire in here tomorrow, the studio.
Yeah, well, it's going to be tough to get out of here if it is, but yeah.
It's going to be great. So make sure you stick around come around for that tomorrow. Hey, here's a great way to follow the draft over the next few days. And if you haven't done so already, you got to get on this. You should download the Buffalo Bills Touch app for your iPad, Windows, or Android tablet. And do it right now because the draft is tomorrow. On that, a one-of-a-kind draft preview issue on the Buffalo Bills Touch app. It's got all kinds of interactivity, draft prospect videos, an in-depth look at the Bills' history in the draft, mock draft summaries, a live draft board. Great way to get ready for the draft if you've got a tablet, iPad, Windows, or Android tablet. Download the Buffalo Bills Touch app. With the app, by the way, there's also a stadium renovation guide, an interactive video tour, behind-the-scenes video, photo galleries. You can download the Buffalo Bills Touch for free in the Apple iTunes Store, at the Windows App Store, and at the Google Play Store. It's a really essential tool that brings you closer to your team than ever before. Buffalo Bills Touch for your iPad, Windows, or Android tablet. You should do it now so you're all set to go. When the draft begins tomorrow, you can follow along. It's a great way to follow the draft. Along with listening to our show, we'll have pick-by-pick coverage. We'll have analysis tomorrow night. Chris Brown will join us in the 7 o'clock hour to set the stage. We'll get his last thoughts on how we think this draft might play out. We're going to check in with the Bills party that's going on at Alumni Arena tomorrow for season ticket holders and, I guess, premium seat holders. Alexander Vitali will join us during the 7 o'clock hour to talk about that. And then Joe Buscaglia will be in studio with us for most of the night tomorrow as well as we tap into his expertise. It's going to be a good night. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Mike Jafari is our engineer, producer Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Tomorrow night, draft night, finally, 7 o'clock, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We'll be live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.